Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car, I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz.
Phoebe Neuwirth won a Tony for her role as Velma in Chicago, and then another one as Nikki in Sweet Charity. And then she won not one, but two Emmys for playing Dr. Lilith Sternin on Cheers and Frasier. And she's appeared in a bunch of movies as well. So what's left for her to conquer? Well, next Tuesday, Phoebe Neuwirth will be making her nightclub debut at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency, performing a show she calls Stories with Piano. And I'm delighted to have the wonderful actress, singer, and dancer join me today on this show. Hi, it's good to see you again.
Nice to be here.
Do you think of yourself as all three, actress, singer, dancer?
Well, I get work as all three, so yeah, that's right. A dancer first. That's what I've been doing. That's what I started off doing.
And the other ones just kind of added on? Is the dancing the basis for everything else?
Yeah, I think so. I think my first impulse as an artist is to express physically. And that's what a dancer does. And so, and honestly, I think it's all acting. My acting teacher had said, acting is living truthfully, moment to moment, under imaginary circumstances. So why is it that people who just talk think that they have the corner on acting? That's what singers do, and that's what dancers do. One of the greatest actors I've ever seen on stage was Rudolf Nureyev. So it's all acting.
In fact, we're seeing that more and more with dancers, being expressive in ways that they weren't expected to in the past. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting watching you when we were listening to all that jazz. You were moving your body.
It's a good song.
But you were almost like dancing in your seat.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of split personality, three faces,
no,
a BB?
I think it's all, as I say, it's all expressing. It's all living truthfully, moment to moment. And I'm either dancing or I'm singing or I'm talking and listening. And it's all really the same.
And is the singing just acting as well?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Especially this piece that I've put together for Feinstein's. It's called Stories with Piano. Many of the songs that I sing are stories. They are really telling stories. Or if they're not, they are expressing a moment in this person's life. And as we all know, you know, a love song is not just a love song. Think of when you fall in love, there's a whole story that goes behind that falling in love in that moment. So in that sense, even just a love song, let's say Here I'll Stay is a beautiful song by Kurt Weill, that's a story in of itself about the persons and how they feel this love.
Well, you obviously have a real affection for Kurt Weill, because the last time you were here,
you've been here
a few times, but you were here to when you were in a show that was based on his music.
Yeah, that was that's right. It was called Here Lies Jenny. We did it at the Zipper Theater, and that was all music of Kurt Weill. And
he was a great storyteller.
I love his music. I think it's beautiful. Unfortunately, a lot of times people think of Kurt Weill, they think, oh, it's something angular and harsh and Germanic. And really, he only wrote three musicals in Germany. And even those, if you look at that music, it's lush and it's beautiful. I think his music, to me, is so honest. It expresses whatever it is he's expressing. He expresses it with absolute unflinching honesty and beauty.
Wow.
Really romantic songs, funny songs. He wrote with Ogden Nash, you know, Langston Hughes.
He wrote beautiful songs like My Ship and
yes.
Lost in the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So what are you singing by him? And
There's a song called, as I mentioned, there's one called Here I'll Stay. There's one called How Much I Love You, which he wrote with Ogden Nash, which is, the lyrics are like, more than a catbird hates a cat, or a criminal hates a clue, or the Axis hates the United States. That's how much I love you.
Well, he was witty. Do you see any of these writers connected to each other?
Well, I do know that John Kander and Fred Ebb were quite influenced by Kurt Vile and his music. But it's interesting, when I put together this show with my musical director, Scott Cady, we looked at all the music that I love and a lot of music that he liked or thought that I would be good singing. And then you see, what do I relate to? What do I think is beautiful? And then you put it all together in the order, and the order in which I sing these songs is, the songs relate to each other emotionally, maybe. There's a reason that I have them in the order that I do. And then musically, there is some relation to the other. Whether or not it was in the minds of the composers, I couldn't answer that. I couldn't speak to that.
Well, they all have wonderful lyrics. That's yes. Something I notice all the songs that you've chosen. In the same way that I think of Stephen Sondheim being related in some ways to Cole Porter because of the way they approach lyrics, although Sondheim was very much inspired by Oscar Hammerstein. I think that I see him as coming out of that other tradition where you have to listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I'm very interested in what, not just, you know, you could have a beautiful melody, but if the words don't make sense or they don't land right in the, you know, one enhances the other. You know, look at the Kander and Ebb songs. It's just the music makes the lyrics better. The lyrics make the music better. They're so connected that they can't exist without the other, but the experience is so much more. I don't know how I'm trying to say this. Yes, I'm very interested in the lyrics
and the
stories that they
say.
And it's not just vowel sounds. And, you know, it is a story. It is something to express.
And then Tom Waits also.
Yes, I'm a huge Tom Waits fan. And I actually look forward to doing a show with much more Tom Waits. I think he's a great poet, first of all. And I also think his music and songs, very much actually like Kurt Vile. It's very an unflinching honesty and such a beautiful turn of phrase.
Does it take you a while to get a feel for a song?
Excuse me?
Does it take you a while to get a feel for a song? Do you have to connect to it as an actor might connect to a role?
Interesting. I think sometimes I hear something for the first time, say, oh my gosh, that's the most beautiful thing, absolutely, or that's hysterical, I have to do this. There was one song that I sing called Susan's Dream, and this is a Kurt Vile song, words by Alan Lerner. It was cut from a show, actually, and I heard it, and the way it was in the songbook, it just wasn't, I thought, this is a good song, but it's not happening right. The arrangement that Jeff Saver, actually, and Leslie Stifelman came up with absolutely made it, you know, because I think because it was cut from a show, they just sort of threw it into the songbook with something that wasn't really helping it. Mm-hmm. And this arrangement, I think it's a magnificent song.
Well, you've been performing a lot with symphony orchestras behind you, and now just a piano.
Yeah.
That has to be a very different experience, well, even though the piano is the most orchestral of all
instruments. Yeah, I mean, it is still a very visceral experience for me. You know, I had no idea that standing in front of 70-piece orchestra and singing a song would be as physically thrilling as it is. Scott is a beautiful, beautiful pianist, and we've even played this song through for friends who've listened. Music Contractor is a friend of us. He said he listened to the whole show and he thought, what piece could we add to this? He thought, nothing really, because Scott's playing is so beautiful and there's just a simplicity to it. We don't really feel like, you know, eventually maybe there's a couple songs we would add, maybe an accordion, maybe a cello or violin, but splash cymbal for the punchlines. But I think it's You know, the piano was what I've been in ballet class since I was 5 years old. So that ballet class is done to a piano. So that's the most natural thing for me. That's sort of in my cellular makeup to express to a piano.
Bebe Neuwirth is my guest. She's performing from Tuesday the 20th through the 31st, Stories with Piano at Feinstein's at the Lowe's Regency, that's at Park Avenue and 61st Street. And you can get details about tickets on our show page at WNYC.org. So you were one of those girls who wanted to be a ballet dancer when she was a kid. And that was it for the rest of your life?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's right.
And when did the music come
well,
in?
Well, what happened was I was in ballet class since I was five. I was performing at seven in ballets and wanted to be a ballet dancer. And somewhere in my subconscious, I didn't want to admit it to myself because it was too painful to admit, but somewhere I must have known that I didn't have the turnout. I couldn't do a million pirouettes. I didn't have a great extension. I could dance great, but I didn't have
Suzanne
the ballet
Farrell.
Technique. I did not have that. And when I was 13, I saw Pippin on Broadway, and I saw that choreography, and I said, I recognized myself on the stage. I thought, okay, I'm going to dance on Broadway, and I'm going to do that guy's choreography. And I didn't realize at 13 the enormity of what I was saying, that I had just said that I'm going to dance for Bob Fosse. I didn't know who Bob Fosse was. I really didn't know much about musicals.
And you have been linked with Bob Fosse over the years because of that. You felt you were his
I don't know.
Ideal
it
dancer?
Just, it resonated for me. You know, I always say you walk into a museum and some people, it's the Renoir paintings that bring a tear to the eye. For me, I think the Renoirs are beautiful. But for me, the Van Goghs are the ones that bring a tear to my eye. They resonate for me. And so for me, that choreography, Bob's choreography, I knew it. I had it in my body before I'd even tried it when I was 13.
Well, often the transition from ballet to modern dance or whatever Bob Fosse was doing is a little difficult. Was it difficult for you?
I think that a ballet dancer is actually especially primed for Bob's work because he is, he's pulled up. He has an elegance. It's very sensual, but it's not down and dirty. There is an elegance to it so that the sensuality is more a very elegant eroticism as opposed to
And there are some modern dance choreographers who are more tuned into ballet. I think of Twyla Tharp and
certainly.
Mark Morris.
Yeah, yeah.
Fosse, you see it all over the place in some of the things he asks his dancers to do. But you came to prominence with a chorus line, and that wasn't Bob Fosse.
No, that was Michael Bennett, and it was not natural for my body to do that stuff. That was harder for me to achieve. When I did my first Fosse show and did my first
Chicago
work of his, Sweet Charity, and actually Peter Gennaro choreographed the revival of Little Me, but while we were in previews, Bob came in and staged one of the original staging of one of the numbers. That felt, I thought, that this feels, I get it. This feels right to me.
Well, they say that Bob Fosse choreographed for his own body.
Yeah.
And obviously there was some kind of a synergy there. You played Velma in Chicago when it was revived in 1996. And then you came back and and played Roxy.
That's right. Yeah, I did. I would come back every once in a while and play Velma. And then I didn't play for a while. And then I had a hip replacement and came in. So I brought my I had less of my original parts when I came in to play Roxy.
Was it scary to start dancing again after you had the hip replacement?
You know, it was the best thing for me to have that as a goal, you know, while I was rehabbing from my hip, to know that I had this, to know that I was getting myself to get back on stage. Actually, within the year, I had a very fortunate recovery. So it was about 7 or 8 months later, I was back on stage and I was champing at the bit. I couldn't wait.
Are you going to continue doing Stories with Piano after you leave Feinstein?
Yes, sir. I have a couple of gigs throughout the next year in different cities across the country.
That means we won't be seeing you on television playing some wild, eccentric characters?
Oh, well, who knows what I'll be able to fit in the meantime.
But meanwhile,
Bebe
Neuwirth, Stories with Piano at Feinstein's at the Lowe's Regency. May 20th through the 31st. And you can find out more information by going to our website at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for coming by again.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Then she'd... Then I'd... See? Get it? Right? I'd kick really hard. Then we'd... But I can't do it alone. She'd say, what state's Chicago in? I'd say, ill. Did you get that? She'd say, turn your motor off. Ring, 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 ring.